keep the money moving. One of the strategies we used to keep our money moving was to buy a rental property and within a year or two, borrow out our own down payment and buy another rental property. The following is an example of how we invested and then borrowed money to invest in other assets. In 1990, Kim and I noticed a house for sale in a beautiful neighborhood in Portland, Oregon. The owner was asking $95,000, but the property did not sell. The economy was bad, people were being downsized, and there were many houses on the market. We would have put in an offer earlier, but this house did not fit our investment profile. It was too expensive and too nice a house to be considered a long-term rental property. Yet we watched this property because we could see it had a lot of value and potential. After about 6 months, we finally knocked on the door and found that the owner was very anxious to sell and ready to listen to any offers. He owed $56,000, so I offered $60,000 and we settled on $66,000. I gave him $10,000 and we took over his existing mortgage. A month later, the owner and family had moved out and were on their way to California, happy to have sold their home. They did not make much money and they did not lose much money. The house rented immediately, and we wound up making about $75 a month positive cash flow after paying all debt and expenses. About 2 years later, the market had improved and many people were making us offers to buy it, the best offer being $86,000. Kim and I did not take the offer, although it was tempting. If we had sold, we would have realized approximately a 100% per annum return on our down payment. We felt the house could eventually reach the $150,000 range in 3 to 5 years. Instead of selling this house, we decided to begin buying more now that the market was turning in sales price and also rental income. Given the strong market indications, Kim and I applied for a home equity loan. The balance on the mortgage was now less than $55,000, and the appraisal came in at around $95,000. The rent could cover a mortgage of around $70,000, so we refinanced the house and put approximately $15,000 in our pocket. We had gotten our money back and we still had the asset. Within a few months, after looking at several hundred properties, we found our new target. It was a great house in the same neighborhood. The house did not show well since the owner had let his children live in it rent-free for years. The asking price was $98,000, and after several offers and counteroffers, we purchased it for $72,000, put $4,000 into paint and repairs, and put it up for rent. Late in 1994, we sold both houses for just under $150,000 each and took that money to buy a larger apartment house in Arizona, where the market prices were still depressed. Besides keeping our money moving, there are a number of points I would like to point out. 1. We did well because the market was down, and that gave us time to look for and negotiate sensible investments. If the market were up, we would tend to look harder and be even more cautious. 2. The investments had to make sense today, not tomorrow. Rich Dad always said, "Your profit is made when you buy, not when you sell." Every property we bought had to have a positive cash flow on the day we bought it and had to have a positive cash flow even in a bad economy. If the market had not gone up, Kim and I would still be happy with the investment. 3. As stated earlier in this program, every investor has an exit strategy before they enter the market. Since this was a new type of market, even though it was investing in real estate, it was a different type of real estate investment. This difference required we start over again, doing our research and coming up with different entry and exit strategies. 4. Those two houses would sell for $200,000 to $250,000 today, now that the Portland, Oregon market has recovered. The reason we sold early was to leave some money on the table for the next buyer, also to take advantage of a market that was down and about to move up, in this case the Phoenix market, and because our investment portfolio had changed. We no longer held single-family homes. We had now graduated to larger and larger apartment houses, again for more leverage. 5. Know the difference between being an investor and a trader. We were investors when we were willing to buy and hold the properties for their cash flow. We were traders when we knew our entry as well as our exit strategy. In other words, an investor buys to hold and a trader buys to sell. If you want to retire rich, you need to know how they are different and how to be both. 6. Kim and I invest for the long term. But to us, investing for the long term does not mean parking your money, leaving it in one big pile, thinking you're diversified when in reality all of your investments are in one vehicle, a vehicle such as mutual funds, and then hoping that the wind does not blow or a fire does not break out. Investing to us means being in the market every day of our lives, gathering more information, gaining more and more real-life experience, and keeping our money moving. I want my money back. If you are a sophisticated investor, you want your money back, and you want to keep the asset, too. That is the reason I love investing. I get to keep what I purchased and get my money back. If you can understand this principle of investing, you will understand what the velocity of money means. It means you want your money back as quickly as possible so it can be reinvested to acquire other assets. More than one way to speed up your money. This idea of the velocity of your money does not only apply to real estate. The idea of velocity of money is really a principle or mental tool of the rich. Once you understand the principle, you want to be able to apply it in everything you do. Velocity of money is an important aspect of leverage. Another way of increasing the velocity of money is through knowing the tax laws and using corporate entities. For example, let's say someone owns a business and also owns part of a second business that invests in real estate. Rental expense from one company flows to the rental income of the other company. As you may know, a business is taxed after expenses, while the individual is taxed before expenses. So an individual who rents a house pays for that house with after-tax dollars. The business can pay that rent with pre-tax dollars. The rental income goes to another corporate entity, but this income is now classified as passive income rather than earned income. There is an exception, where the ownership of the two companies is the same, where the income must be treated as earned income. For example, if you have a business in your home and pay yourself rent, you would have to treat that income as earned income. Passive income, if managed properly, can flow to the individual or the business paying substantially less in taxes. A person who manages his or her business and investment portfolio in this manner can keep their money moving faster while paying much less in taxes. If it flowed into only one corporate entity, it would stagnate and be taxed heavily.